On behalf of Leinberger Information Services, welcome to the taxation of put options, selling a put option. Now, put options can be sold in a speculative way, thinking that the stock is going to go up in value, and you'll make a little bit of money by writing the insurance policy. So you could have a stock that's very strong technically, and you might write call options hoping to pick up that option. Now, normally when my clients do this, those clients are very, very comfortable if they would eventually have to buy the stock. Because when you write a put, you need to be 100% comfortable that you would want to own that stock. T sells the right to a counterparty to put the stock to T in the future. And that would be for a specified number of shares, for a stated price, at any time during a specified period of time. That's the term of the option. So the stock is currently trading at $50 a share. For $4, T gives C the right to sell him XYZ stock at $49 a share. He puts $4 in his pocket. If the stock price drops below $49, T must also buy stock from C for $49 a share, even though it is only worth $47. If the stock price stays at or above $49 a share, the put option has no value and C does not exercise. T simply keeps the premium from writing the naked put. Your profit is limited. Your loss is tremendous. Now, sometimes what people will do is they will write a put. Let's say the stock's at 55. They will write a put at 50, and then they will buy a put at 40. They only have $10 of loss potential. Let's go through the tax consequences of selling a put option. Basically, I receive a premium. What happens when I receive the premium? What happens when the option expires? What happens if the writer of that put purchases the underlying stock when the counterparty exercises the put option, forces me to buy the stock? Or what happens when the writer enters into a closing transaction? Basically, tax consequences upon the sale. No income is recognized when I receive the $4 or $5 or the $1 for writing that option. That's Revenue Ruling 78-182. The amount carried in a deferred account until the option expires, the writer purchases the underlying stock, or enters into a closing transaction. Nothing happens until there's some action. Consequences of expiration. The option expires worthless. The premium is always short-term capital gain to the writer when the option expires. Okay, it's always short-term capital gain because you are short. And under the law, typically when you're in a short position, that gain is always going to be short-term. And take a look at 1234B1 and Revenue Ruling 78-182. For example, Z stock is currently trading at $28 a share. T sells a put option at $25 a share. The price of the put is $2. The stock stays above $25 a share. The option expires worthless. That is going to be a $2 capital gain. I have a lot of clients that write naked puts, and that is the core of the strategy. Again, but if they're doing this, they have to be comfortable with owning the underlying stock. Let's talk about, now I've sold a put, what are the tax consequences if someone exercises that put and forces me to buy the stock? The premium received decreases the writer's basis in the stock purchased, and the writer's holding period begins on the date the stock was acquired rather than the date the put was written. So you tie your holding period to the stock, not to the option. An example will be helpful here. ABC stock is currently trading at $28 a share. T sells to C a put option on ABC at $28. The price of the put, T receives $2 in her pocket up front by writing the put. The stock now drops to $22, and of course, what's going to happen is the counterparty is going to force T to buy the stock. But T's going to have to pay $28 a share for buying that. T's basis in the stock will not be 28, but will be 26. 28 minus the $2 premium up front. And T's holding period begins on the date that T actually acquires the stock. Now again, now let's transition a little bit. I've sold a put option, but I settle. I do not let anyone force me to buy the stock. I settle the transaction. The difference between the value of the option and the premium received is short-term capital gain or loss. That is going to be short-term capital gain or loss. Assuming the same exact facts I just went through, except that instead of buying the stock back, or buying the stock worth $22 for $28, I actually close the transaction for $6. I give the counterparty $6, and I am now going to have a short-term capital loss of $4. The $6 I had to pay to get out of the transaction minus the $2 I received for the put option. Now let's talk about some other income tax issues related to options. Now let's review some other tax issues that are intertwined with the with option trading. You have the constructive sale rules under 1259 of the code. You have the straddle rules under section 1092 of the code. We have to touch upon qualified covered calls and finally conversion transactions. Now, under 1259 of the code, the constructive sale rules came into law basically if you're designing a collar that's too tight, where you have very limited economic risk, you're going to be treated as selling the underlying property. Okay? Now, those are loosely called the constructive sale rules. This includes the short sale of the same property or substantially identical property. It also includes certain hedging transactions like collars, variable forward sales, monetizing collars. Any gain in stock owned is recognized if you trip over the constructive sale rules. Now let's go through an example. On October 5th, 2009, S bought 1,000 shares of XYZ stock for $40,000. S sold short 1,000 shares of XYZ stock on October 2nd, 2010 for $55,000. S closes the short sale on February 10th, 2011. S would recognize a gain of $15,000 on October 2nd, 2010 when he entered into the short sale. And S now has a new holding period in the stock dated from October 2nd, 2010. Very dangerous position. Now, of course, if you close that short sale in the first month of the following year, you would be able to get around the constructive sale rules. When you read the statute, there's an exception right in the rules. On behalf of Leinberger Information Services, this has been Bob Keebler, and thank you for joining us for Part 4, Selling a Put Option.